Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ce soir?
So tonight we arrive at Mélenchon. What do you think?
Qu'est-ce que tu penses?
You like Mélenchon, perhaps?
Moi,
for me to choose, I prefer Mélenchon to Macron. Because Macron is for the rich. I am not rich.
Riche, moi je ne suis pas riche.
Commodore 64, Paris.
Il y a des gens qui se mettent pour de vrai pour faire ça.
Oui, mais il y a des gens qui font ça.
When Emmanuel Macron decisively beat the far-right Marine Le Pen in 2017, the promise was of a new era of moderation, transcending the old left-right divide. The grown-ups would be back in the room and consign so-called populism to the fringes. But France is more bitterly polarised and divided than when this former investment banker triumphed half a decade ago. And the far-right has never been closer to taking power in any Western European nation since 1945. In the first round of the presidential election, the frontrunners included Macron, Le Pen, yet another far-right candidate, Éric Zemmour, who has enjoyed vast media coverage, while the left-wing firebrand Jean-Luc Mélenchon enjoyed surging popularity in the final weeks. The socialists and the Gaullists, who once dominated French politics, have all but collapsed. We've arrived in Paris on the night of the first round and gone straight to Mélenchon's headquarters as the first poll projecting the final result after the voting has stopped is announced.
From campaign headquarters for those who are through and the kingmakers. And there you have it, Emmanuel Macron with a lead
devant
after the
Marine Le Pen
first
round. Avec 23,3%,
il devance Fabien Roussel, le communiste, 2,7%, Nicolas Dupont-Aignan à 2,3%.
So the polling's in and people are pretty devastated here because Mélenchon's done a lot better than predicted in the polls. 20% is not enough. Le Pen has edged it into the second round against Macron. That is not a choice I think that many people here are going to want to have to make. And I'm going to be interested to find out, actually speaking to people, whether some of these people are even going to vote at all.
I might not vote, yeah.
Are you scared, even though this is a terrible choice for you, are you more scared Le Pen, a far-right president?
I am scared if I vote and I am scared if I don't vote, because if Emmanuel Macron is re-elected again, it means that in 5 years it will not be Marine Le Pen, it will be Éric Zemmour, because Macron is destroying the public services, the school, the public school, the free school, the free university, the free hospital, and everything he's doing is creating a monster. He's creating the right, the alt-right in France by his actions. So I can't say, yes, he's something to protect us from the far right, because he's creating it.
I truly think that our country is not fascist, but there is this rise of fascism and I'm so depressed about it. When I see Macron, when I see Le Pen, for me it's the same. And I'm so, so depressed. I cried when I saw the result. I was so depressed. So this is my feeling right now.
We're inside Mélenchon's HQ. It's quite the media scrum. Very, very intense. We're going to try and talk to some of the people involved in the campaign, see if we can see how people feel it went, where's it go from now, and is Mélenchon going to throw his weight behind Macron? Seems unlikely.
What people are saying right now, immediately after the defeat, is one thing. What are they going to be saying in a week when the polls are showing Le Pen and Macron neck and neck, in theory, you know? That could change. And then I think the other key thing is people want some kind of bone thrown by Macron, you know? In 2017, everyone voted for him to defeat the far right. And over the course of 5 years, Macron has done effectively nothing for the left. So it'd be nice from the Mélenchon supporters' point of view to have some sort of gesture made towards them to say, you know, well, I'm not going to do this reform or I'm going to do this or that. So we'll have to see how Macron also conducts his campaign. Is he going to make an effort? Because responsibility perhaps shouldn't be only on you know, the supporters of Mélenchon. That's how politics work. You have to give people a reason to vote for you. And so far, Macron hasn't really done anything to make people on the left, you know, believe in his product or want to go vote for him.
What's the strategy now for the French left?
Fight. Keep fighting. Never retreat. Never go back. Always fight. People like us because we fight for them. That's when people left you, is that when you see you are scared. You're scared to fight for them. If you keep fighting, it will happen one day. Stay brave.
So it's the morning after the first round. We know, obviously, it's Macron versus Le Pen. We need to get out of Paris. We need to talk to people up in the north, where Le Pen is doing very, very well. And I want to speak to voters in Douai and also Henin Beaumont. That's where she voted. That's where she represents. And I want to see, obviously, what Le Pen voters think, but also how are those people who voted for Mélenchon going to vote? Are they going to vote for her too?
In 1970, France was so beautiful. Now France is a garbage can. So Mr. Macron, if at the vote you're elected, do something for us, because otherwise the yellow vests will come for you again. So good for you, be elected, but I tell you, Le Pen, she will beat you. So may I ask who you voted for yesterday?
Mélenchon.
Mélenchon? Pourquoi?
Why Mélenchon for you? Because I want Macron to get out. And then it is Macron or Le Pen. What do you think? Will you vote for Macron or...
Vous votez pour Macron ou...
No, Le Pen. You will vote for Le Pen? Yeah. Why Le Pen for you? Because Macron, he has to get out. There, that's it. He did nothing for us. He thinks only of the rich. It's a guy who thinks only about dough. There, that's what I think.
Voilà, c'est ce que je pense.
Il n'a rien compris.
He hasn't understood a thing about the guy who gets 1,100 or 1,200 euros a month. And they are asked to do overtime, unpaid, or to be recovered. And then they are told that their salary will be increased, but that's not true. Not true. The employers will never raise the salary. It's not true. Well, Macron, he's a banker. So, a banker, the big heads. The little ones will stay little.
Un banquier, les grosses têtes, les petits resteront petits.
There is no word. There's nothing else to say. It's Marine Le Pen. There's nothing else. Why? I'll tell you one thing. I'm 67, right? I have voted for more than 40 years, the right, the left, after listening to my brother. You voted for the socialists in the past. I voted for the socialists. I voted for the right. I voted for what's-his-name to block the father of Marine Le Pen. Mr. Jean-Marie Le Pen, on the advice of my brother, who unfortunately died. So I listened to him. I listened to him. In the end, I'll tell you frankly, I screwed up because since 2014, when I arrived here in Henin Beaumont, the city has been transformed to 300%. That, I can tell you, is all I have to say.
So this is Marine Le Pen's offices, which makes sense, she represents the area, but it's actually based on Place Jean Jaurès. Jean Jaurès was the assassinated French socialist leader. He was killed actually back in 1914. As World War I broke out, not natural bedfellows. Anyway, let's see if they're in.
Chers frères, nous sommes venus du néant pour elle, par-delà les hémisphères de l'Antis.
So Le Pen is very popular here. Why is this? Christopher Tuturek, first deputy mayor of Henin Beaumont. Because here I think her speech is particularly recognised. First of all, because here we are in a city and in a region that the left has betrayed a lot. That is to say, we are in a region that has experienced the closure of mines, the closure of factories, without economic reconversion. And finally, if you want, Marine Le Pen, her speech obviously hits the nail on the head, because her fight against immigration, her fight against insecurity, the way she talks to the working classes, obviously it works. And in Henin Beaumont, in particular over the past 8 years, the situation in the city has improved considerably, and it translates into a national vote because the voters are grateful for it. We talked with people who voted for Mélenchon, but who might vote for Le Pen now. What do you think about it?
Le Pen?
Right.
Qu'est-ce que vous pensez de ça?
That actually seems pretty consistent to me. Today we have Jean-Luc Mélenchon's voters who probably voted for him for social reasons mainly. And today we have Jean-Luc Mélenchon telling them to go and vote for Emmanuel Macron, who is the most liberal and anti-social candidate of the political class, who will tomorrow probably push back on the retirement age. This is not very coherent. So it is normal that the voters do not follow his instructions.
As this northern corner of the country underlines, France is a cauldron of discontent. Voters have abandoned the old centre-left and centre-right parties for alternatives which, in different ways, pledge to overturn the existing system. The so-called Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vest movement, emerged after Macron imposed a carbon tax which disproportionately hit the less well-off, an attack on the idea of a just transition to tackle the climate emergency which doesn't fall on the shoulders of the poor, which environmental campaigners have demanded. Their movement and savage police attacks on them underlined that Macron's so-called centrism is profoundly authoritarianism, and it's helped crystallise fury against the incumbent. Most Mélenchon voters will not vote for the far right, though a significant chunk will abstain, but some will. These are citizens who do not necessarily think in terms of left and right, but believe France's social order is rigged against them. For these voters, the Mélenchon left offered the most convincing answers to their grievances, but now they believe Le Pen is the only means to give an establishment they despise a bloody nose. It's easy to berate these voters, but snarling at the disillusioned is rarely convincing. How does Macron convincingly win them over? I came back to Paris to talk to Zineb Al-Rezou, a prominent pro-Macron journalist, and asked her why she thought so many were disillusioned with the president.
I think that the growth of the far right in France can be explained by the conspiracy theory, by the fact as well that people maybe forgot their history. They forgot that the rights they have today, they paid the price of blood and wars to have them. And today I have the feeling that a lot of French people forget that they are extremely lucky and they are among the nations who have the most rights in the world. So
they're not grateful enough.
Sorry?
Is it a lack of gratitude?
It's a lack of realism, you know. This far right uses the fears of people. They're using they're playing on the lower instincts, on the lower fears of people, and they keep saying that France is collapsing. France is a poor country. It needs to be saved. It needs to be saved by them. And I think that Macron is just the alternative to this negative speech, and he is just suggesting, giving a positive vision of the country, and that's why I'm personally seduced by his project.
To see him on the TV, I feel like vomiting. This man is disgusting.
Didier Eribon is a French author and philosopher from a working-class family who was born in Reims, northern France. I wanted to find out why so many voters in working-class communities, not least in the north, have defected from left-wing parties and right into the arms of the far right.
If you feel that the party does not anymore represent what you are, you stop voting for this party. And there is no natural link between being a working class man or woman and voting for the left. You vote for the left if you think that left represents you in the political and the public sphere. If it does not anymore, you try to find another way to be represented, that to have your voice heard in the political sphere. So you start voting for another party, and it has been, unfortunately, the National Front, Jean-Marie Le Pen, and then Marine Le Pen. If some left-wing voters do vote for her, I do not like that. I condemn that. It's a pity. But I can understand the process of people who cannot do anything else to express their anger. I will abstain. I will not vote for Emmanuel Macron. So I will abstain, and I will say so publicly. I will abstain.
But surely, objectively, it will be worse.
It will be worse. But I think Marine Le Pen, there is no risk that she has no chance
to win.
No, because there will be enough.
But if lots of people abstain, she's got a chance.
No, she will be higher than she was in the last election 5 years ago. But she will not win. She cannot win. The system is...
It sounds then that you're relying on other people to vote against her.
You know, we are asked to block, faire barrage, to block Marine Le Pen. But Macron blocked democracy. He repressed the young people demonstrating about the climate.
I totally understand the argument against Macron, but I suppose the issue is, you know, there's a difference between very bad and extremely bad. And there's a gap, and people live in that gap.
He has just said this afternoon, when I was elected 5 years ago, it was because people were supporting my agenda. And he didn't learn that people did vote for him because they wanted to block Marine Le Pen, not because they supported his agenda. His politics is anti-social, is violently anti-social. How can I vote for him? It's not even because I don't want, because I cannot.
As in Britain, Spain, Ireland and the United States, the radical left surge in France has been driven by younger voters. Although the far right has more appeal amongst millennials and Generation Z than elsewhere, it's Mélenchon who topped the vote amongst the under-35s, with Macron trailing a distant third. It's amongst older voters, particularly the over-70s, which delivered Macron his first place position in the first round. Yet the left has a case to answer for. Multiple left-wing candidates split the left vote, and if they'd united behind one campaign, as former socialist presidential candidate Ségolène Royal urged the left to unite around Mélenchon as the leading candidate, then Le Pen could have been prevented from making it to the second round. Over the last few years, the radical left has surged in many countries, but except as a junior coalition partner, it hasn't taken power on its own anywhere. It needs the soul search if that's to change. But given the stakes, many younger leftists who despise Macron, who have indeed suffered under his rule, feel they have no choice but to vote for him to stop the far right, even as they rankle at the idea that their votes will be used to suggest a mandate for Macron's policies. I arrive in Montreuil, a traditional stronghold of the left in a Parisian suburb, to talk to Pablo Pilou-Vivien, a young left-wing journalist, about the traumatic choice many of his generation face.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's very complicated because a lot of people in France don't want to choose between Macron and Marine Le Pen. For me, it's totally different. You cannot say it's the same, you know, to have a neoliberal project for France is totally different than to have a fascist project for France. So for me, the choice is very simple. It's we have to vote for Macron, even if, you know, we know what is going to be, what the next 5 years going to be, you know.
Le Pen, if she wins, what the hell happens? What does that even look like?
I don't want to think about it.
But you're going to have to, because I asked you the question. Come on.
What does it look
like? Le Pen's France, which could be 2 weeks away.
I think, you know, it's not going to be a fascist power since day one, you know. But it's going to be, she's going to accelerate the fascization
of France.
Exactly, okay, of France, you know. Uh-huh. But, you know, we all, in France, we know what it's to have a fascist party, in power, you know, during World War II, we began with that.
Vichy,
you know?
Yeah, of course.
Vichy, exactly. And we know what it's to resist.
Do you think the streets will explode?
I hope so. I hope so. But you know, when Jean-Marie Le Pen was at the second round in 2002, there were like 1 million people like in the streets, like the week after. Today, Marine Le Pen is at round two, and like there is nothing, absolutely nothing. Nobody's gonna like protest. Nobody's like going like to invade the streets.
Because in 2002, when her dad was on the ballot paper, that was a massive shock. But there hasn't been the same shock because it's normalised.
Yes, everything is normalised. You know, like the presence of Marine Le Pen is normalised. I don't know. It's very complicated, you know, to say, okay, this is like the extreme right, and it's totally different than the right.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes they have like exactly the same speeches. Cool. For example, Gérald Darmanin, he was on a debate on TV, on national television, in front of against Marine Le Pen, and he said to Marine Le Pen on the immigration issue, he said, "You're too soft."
Yeah.
You know,
and she, like, the look on her face. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, close,
yeah.
He's really saying that, you know. Uh-huh. So it's. So that's why, like, it's like particularly complicated to say, okay, we're gonna vote for Macron because, like, he's so much better and his government is so much better than Marine Le Pen.
The very concepts of left and right emerged in the French Revolution in the 18th century, and the far right in France has a long pedigree indeed. After Benito Mussolini's fascists seized power in Italy in 1922, followed by Adolf Hitler's Nazis in Germany 11 years later, far-right leagues such as Action Française thrived in France and in 1934 rioted in the streets of Paris, leading to fears of a fascist coup. When the Nazis occupied France in 1940, a collaborationist government headed by the then war hero Marshal Pétain in Vichy overturned the Republican order, replacing the revolutionary slogans of liberté, égalité, fraternité with travail, famille, patrie, work, family, homeland. Disgraced after the liberation of France, it wasn't until the 1980s that the far right revived under Jean-Marie Le Pen and his National Front, then combining right-wing attacks on François Mitterrand's socialist government, which in the early 1980s spoke of a break with capitalism, with xenophobia and racism. Le Pen has been convicted of racism, or inciting racism, multiple times, dismissing the Holocaust as a mere detail, questioning whether 6 million Jews were murdered, and whipping up anti-Muslim bigotry. In an effort to present a new moderate image, Marine Le Pen expelled her father from the party and renamed it National Rally, Rassemblement National, but its core remains the same, and she's declared her support for Vladimir Putin's policies. But opportunistically, she's raided the rhetoric of the left, opposing hikes to the retirement age, supporting cuts to VAT on energy, opposing privatisation, while calling for income tax to be scrapped for the under 30s. But those hoping Macron's so-called centrism represents a firewall to stop the far right are shrewdly peddling an illusion. His interior minister, Gérald Darmanin, denounced Le Pen on national television for being too soft in immigration, and Macron has been condemned by Human Rights Watch for tearing down refugees' tents. What hope, then, for a French left offered a choice between the far right and neoliberalism? Édouard Louis is a writer who was born into a working-class family which has time and time again voted for the National Front. I wonder, is there any cause for optimism at all?
Something is switching again, and I hope and I believe that there is the beginning of a strong dynamic that is being recreated again on the left, and the connection between the left and the working class people. When I was a child, all my family was voting for the far right, and at this last election, all my family voted for Mélenchon. In a strange way, you know, in politics, it's very difficult to change someone. It's very difficult to change people. If I talk to you and I try to change you, you will get stuck on your position, and that's a normal thing. That's a kind of human reaction. But in a way, it's easier to change the world than to change a person and to change an individual. Because if you change the space of discourses, the space of speeches, the way we can talk, the way we address reality, then so many people, like so many collectives, so many categories, so many groups of people will follow it. And I think what happened with Mélenchon is that for so long, so many working class people, poor people, didn't get in the political field a way to talk about themselves, a way to say I, a way to say I suffer, or I want a better life, I want a better future, I want more opportunities. And they had the illusion that the only ones that were providing a space for that were the far right. So therefore it became I suffer because of migrants, or I suffer because of women's rights or LGBT people. But if you provide suddenly another way of saying I, like I suffer because of capitalistic oppression, I suffer because of class injustice, then so many people follow and change the way of saying I, of saying us, of saying as a group we want something else. And at this last election in France, you saw some of the urban working class and a non-white working class voting for Mélenchon in a huge amount, you know, huge amount of votes going to the left and going to Mélenchon. And so many rural white working class people voting for the far right. And you are in a kind of situation where you have like two working classes, two Frances fighting against each other, you know. So the question becomes like how to end this war and to make people understand that they're on the same side, that they are suffering from the same domination. I mean, when I was a child, I was this gay child, and my mother is a woman, and we were both suffering from masculine domination and from patriarchy, from masculine domination. And because of that, she was calling me faggot. And because of that, I was treating her badly because she was a woman, and we had learned to treat women badly. And in a strange way, or in a paradoxically logical way, the fact that we were experiencing same domination put us apart instead of putting us together. And so at a macro level with the working class, it's really what is going on.
Do you think you could bring yourself to vote for Macron?
I think that the vote against the fascism should be unconditional. I know that the problem between Macron and Le Pen is that they are the cause and the consequence of the same thing. We all know that technocratic bureaucracy and neoliberal people like Macron are the ones who are creating the poverty, the exclusion, the misery, the desperation that would make people vote for the far right. So at the end, I know that when you have a choice between Macron and Le Pen, you have to make a decision between the cause and the consequence of the same system, of the same structure. In the dominant class, so many people have an aesthetical relationship to politics. They will tell you, no, I'm not going to vote for Macron at the second round against the far right, for example, because it makes them feel good, because they don't have to deal with this disgust of voting for Macron, which I understand, it disgusts me. But it can be a purely aesthetical position, because for them it's not going to change their life so much, you know. But in fact, we have to think in terms of like a vital relationship, a strategical and vital relationship to politics. What is going to change for other people, and the kind of aesthetical disposition towards politics is a bourgeois disposition, is a bourgeois way of dealing with politics. So we have to be ready to do things that disgust us in order for other people not to be killed. Le Pen announced that she would cut the possibility for strangers to see doctors, for example. Am I going to go to my bed in the evening, say, okay, I'm proud of myself because I didn't vote for Macron, and those people are going to die because they don't have access to a doctor? This is an aesthetical position towards politics, and for me this is a problem. And once again, I know that Macron is the cause of Le Pen, but it's probably easier to fight against the cause than to fight against the consequence, because the consequence is too dangerous.
For those who wish to stop the far right seizing power in France, the only means at their disposal is a vote for Macron. Thanks to this tactical voting, and despite the abstentions of those who cannot bring themselves to vote for the incumbent, Macron is likely to win again. But those who see what is called centrism as an antidote to that unhelpfully vague catch-all term populism must surely see that it's left France even more angry and discontented than it was. According to polling, Macron is widely seen to be a president of the rich because of his tax policies. His carbon tax clobbered the less well-off and drove French citizens onto the streets, some losing eyes and hands because of police violence. And his drive to hike the retirement age hits poorer people. The least affluent men have a life expectancy 13 years lower than their wealthier counterparts. If his authoritarian administration believed that pandering to racism would defang the far right, they could not have been more wrong. Look across the Atlantic too. Joe Biden's victory was seen as a return of the grown-ups just like Macron, defeating extremism and making politics boring again. But as his popularity has collapsed, particularly among younger voters, a return of Donald Trump cannot be ruled out, with possibly terminal consequences for American democracy. The far right may not win in France this time, but they are closer to power than ever. The stagnation of living standards and pessimism about the future brought by a broken economic model has fueled mass disillusionment, which the far right has fed upon. But for so-called centrists, the political consequences are little more than mass irrationality and hysteria to be cured by their so-called grown-up politics. But they were completely wrong. And in time, as a result, we may all find ourselves paying the price.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.